And now, straight from Beacon Hill.
This is State Senator Bob Hedlund, Republican of Weymouth.
Well, let's be clear that it's the Republicans that have been in charge of this project.
I'm the Secretary of State, brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because they pay me every time I do. It's a really good way to make money.
Or a silly bill.
A silly bill.
Yeah, it's like when I had a bill that had to do with circus animals.
It's time for the State House Report.
Yes, I am a Republican in Massachusetts, believe it or not.
Here's State Senator Bob Hedlund.
Well, we have quite the full House, although it was supposed to be a little bit more of a balance. We have Josh Cutler, who is a state rep for the 6th Plymouth District. He is in studio. He was actually here early.
Good evening.
He's here. I believe we have Jim Cantwell is on the line, too. Jim, you there?
I'm still here, sure.
He's there. And then, of course, State Senator Bob Hedlund is joining us. Senator?
Hello, gentlemen.
We have a party. We have a party. It's very, very clear. Now, I will, Mr. Cantwell, we're going to have to lose you a quarter of, I believe, because we're going to have Tom Calter joining our conversation. So we're kind of a little bit of a swappy swap, a musical chairs.
Calter, Cantwell,
hey,
Cutler.
You said this is balanced, Kevin?
Well, you've complained. I got to say, you've come. Listen.
It's only 3-1. I'm usually.
Hey, it's your show, you know.
Usually dealing with a 10-1 situation.
Well, yeah, so I've actually given you better odds.
Correct.
So if anything, they should get two or three more Democrats then.
That's right.
I can bring Ed Miller in from the other room if you want me to.
Probably have to, if you're bringing seven more people in, it was the usual situation.
So they can hear the truth. Is that what you want to say?
Truth speaks louder than the numbers.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what's funny is all three of you have something very much in common. Other than being lawmakers who are elected to serve your particular districts, but I was fortunate enough to be up on Beacon Hill a couple of weeks ago, and you're all in the same video. It's very uncanny. I was hoping that Mr. Cantwell, if you were here, I had a copy for you.
Oh, good.
Of your stint, of course, Senator. I have a copy for you when we were down for the Restaurant and Business Alliance. They had their little gathering.
That's right. We had some tasty treats there. I recall that.
Yeah, you know, actually, I utilized a device that I got from Alan McKinnon that day, my triple F device.
Really?
Yeah.
And what is that?
That's the free food finder.
Can you teach me that, Bob?
It's a little black box. I'll loan it to you.
Okay. The purpose of the next half an hour, or at least the next 22 minutes, is to kind of talk about. We had quite the event last weekend. We had a little bit of a blink of an eye this past weekend with some, you know, decent snowfall.
Significant snow.
Where you know, there were some residents who lost power. I guess I would kind of throw it out there. Give me your thoughts for what you guys each endured in your particular districts as to how well the utilities performed, how prepared were they, and some of the issues that maybe we have learned that we can use as a learning tool down the road. We'll go with Mr. Cutler, who's in studio first.
Sure. Well, I'm actually just happy to be here because I had a big tree fall in front of my driveway yesterday during our second little storm.
That's the
second tree in as many days. And so I couldn't even leave the house. But thankfully, the NSTAR folks were there pretty quickly this time. So I'm here, thankfully. But in all seriousness, you know, it was a tough, tough storm. I know, you know, from hearing from so many folks who lost power. I lost power for 5 days.
Yep.
Some folks lost power for 6 days. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, when that's the situation, there's a problem. I do think that, you know, the folks at the utility companies did a much better job than before in terms of their responses. And I think our local fire chiefs, police chiefs, and DPW folks did a tremendous job in filling the gaps and filling needs. And you know, I was all over the place in Pembroke and in Duxbury and Hanson. And I saw, you know, Chief Nora, Chief Wall, and all those guys really 24/7. They were out there doing a great job, and so my hat's off to them. I think there's some things that we can do better, and I'd like to hear what some of my colleagues have to say as well, but I certainly think there's some areas where we could see some improvements in terms of how we manage our shelters, for instance. That would be one idea.
Representative Cantwell.
Sure. I think, you know, one about this blizzard, this definitely was an historic storm. I know Rob Gilman had repeated over and over that I think it was the fifth most amount of snow that we've had in at least in our lifetime.
Yep.
We had 5-foot storm surges. I know there were waves, and we went down just checking things out in Brant Rock. Waves are coming over homes. So So it was a tremendously serious storm where in parts of Marshall, silver pines going through in other areas, it looks like a tornado almost touched down. Mm. So to get to Josh's point, I do think that, the utilities did a better job. You know, we had a hearing in Scituate back in 2011 where we pointed out multiple deficiencies in how National Grid had responded, and later with NSTAR. People should know that, we take this very seriously. We had fines of almost $18 million handed down last year as a result of, prior responses from the utilities. I would say this time around, the communication to us, I thought was good. Communication out, Larry Nelson and I just were talking. We could improve upon ways so people know what areas of town or what areas of, the data being worked on and how many units are out there. I will say Marcy Reed, it was pretty impressive. She came to Scituate and met with us and had a right on her computer screen. She could show us how many units with GPS trackers, how many units were in Scituate at that very time and what work they were doing, which I think was a marked improvement over things in the past. But people need to know we're still not out of this, by the way,
right,
Kevin. We don't want to do like the George Bush thing of mission accomplished. We're still not done. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done to get people back to their normal lives.
Okay. Senator, I had a conversation with you, and you kind of felt that the utilities did a bang-up job during this particular storm.
Well, first I will say that Josh is right. I didn't hear all of Jim's comments, but Josh is right. And I think we can improve on the coordination of the work with the shelters and even Red Cross's role in that. There's room for improvement. But I think the local emergency response people did a great job. And I can tell you from previous storms, the utility response has gone from horrible to, I would say, very good. I think they've gotten the message, and I think they were well prepared for this storm. I know it doesn't help for people who were without power for an extended period of time to hear that, but the amount of devastation that I saw and the amount of trees on lines that I saw was just unbelievable. So I do think that their response was good. Communication was much better, especially National Grid.
And Bob, if I can just cut in, too, we had a command center set up that really made a difference here in town, Kevin, and should be the model in the future. But in Marshall, Steve Driscoll is very active in Marshall Affairs. He works for NSTAR. They came in on, I believe it was late Tuesday into Wednesday, and set up right in town so we could drive there, say, well, these are the people calling us who don't have service, and they got, I think, very good service right there after. This is something that needs to be instituted early on in a storm. And Josh, you're there. You could talk about the just what we saw with each of the shelters.
Yeah, that was an issue that came up. We had a meeting, a debrief meeting in Pembroke the other day with Senator Murray. And the issue of the shelters, I think, is an important one.
Is that the regional, the MEMA? The MEMA
this was regionals? A meeting just in Pembroke to talk with selectmen and fire chiefs and police chiefs about the whole shelter situation. And one of the problems I saw in the whole system, and being new, I think I have a sort of a different perspective, but it's great to have the regional shelters, but especially the first couple nights when the roads were nearly impassable, I can tell you firsthand, I stopped in at the Duxbury Fire Station to see what was going on Saturday evening, and the fire chief was shorthanded, and he said, hey, I need someone to drive the Gatter bus. Can you do it? And I said, okay. So I drove the Gatter bus and was driving folks over to the Marshfield shelter. And I can tell you, I had white knuckles because, number one, that's not an easy thing to drive. And number two, the roads were just so bad that, it was tough getting over there. So the idea of regional shelters is great on paper, but I think we really need to have the ability, at least in the first couple nights, to have local shelters. And I think that's the key thing, to have folks in Duxbury or in Pembroke who can get to the local shelter.
But you could put that on. You could put that on your resume. That you're now a bus driver.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Something to keep in
mind.
That'll
come in handy 2 years from now, I guess.
I get a Senator, I know there was one conversation we had last week, and you had addressed it, and it was something that was prevalent, and that was the seawalls in certain communities. Has there been any updates as to how things are with whether it's Scituate or Marshfield or even Duxbury?
Well, I know that the communities are doing an assessment for all damage. The most significant, I think, I'll say this, relatively speaking, compared to previous storms, most of the towns weathered it fairly well. We did have some major problems in Hull with the breakwater two breakwaters, actually, in the Gunrock area. One of them is pretty much decimated now, which led to further damage of some coastal homes as a result. We also had a major breach in the Stony Beach section that led to, came under the wall, actually, and led to some major sinkholes in the road, exposing some utilities. So Howell's going to have to contend with that. I don't think we had, I know we had a lot of washovers further south, but I don't know if we had any reaches as significant as we did in Hull.
Well, I can, you know, I can speak, and I know, Jim, I'm sure you've gone and at least talked to, you know, local officials in Marshfield about our seawalls. And I don't know for sure in Scituate, but I know Marshfield's seawalls, for the most part, were okay. I've sent out emails through the Marshfield Coastal Coalition, and there's been community, there's been people of the citizens have emailed me back areas that need to have area a look taken to. But for the most part, our walls sustained the storm. Jim, you may be able to speak better on that than me at this point.
Well, I think what you see, Joe, too, is the tremendous loss of sand. The erosion out front is exactly what had happened in Fieldston just a few years ago, where the seawalls will start buckling forward. Bob is correct that we're going to have, there are assessments going on right now. Tom Reynolds has people out looking in Marshfield and Al Bangert, Kevin Cafferty in Scituate, and we know that we've sustained damage. The question always of having photos before and after so we can be applying for FEMA funds, it's very tricky to be able to say how we restore certain infrastructure back to the condition it was before, particularly if the condition has been poor. But I would say the good news is we had no seawall breach. The bad news is they are definitely taking damage every single one of these major storms that come through.
I know one of the things that, you know, in previous storms, that was what probably the one thing that a lot of South Shore firefighter, you know, fire chiefs and police chiefs, their problem was is communicating with National Grid, with NSTAR. Did any of you gentlemen hear from your respective fire chiefs? And was that a concern? Were they pretty much happy that this, we never repeat of a couple of years ago, you know, there was a storm after Christmas that, you know, that the fire chiefs were quite upset that, you know, there was nobody, there were down wires, and they couldn't find anybody when they needed to communicate the issues and problems in the particular communities. Josh?
Yeah, Kevin, yeah. This is Jim again. Absolutely. 2 years ago, the December 26th blizzard, we had firefighters in Scituate who were in the Sand Hills section where we had a break of a seawall. Water rushed in. They were calling repeatedly saying that they wanted the power cut off at that point. There had been no action. Water rose to a level where it hit to the electrical panels of two homes. They burned to the ground. We always point out that Rick Judge had his people out there in really waist-deep or even higher water putting out a fire, not knowing if there were live wires around. That's what precipitated the hearings that Bob and I called for 2 years ago and then resulted in some major fines being assessed. Skip ahead, I have to tell you, the response this year was National Grid. Their president was in town twice, coming around and meeting with us, for NSTAR. We were, you know, the communication to customers needs to be improved. I think that's something that we'll when we debrief, we'll talk about. But I have to tell you, the communication that I was receiving was excellent. The fact of Steve Driscoll coming, building a command center in town was excellent. We need to, for people who were calling in and weren't giving what their estimated time of their power being restored, it was very, very frustrating.
Senator, did you have the same same thing as far as what the representative is saying? Is that communication was good with the utilities and their representatives to the fire departments and police stations?
Yeah, the not only was the communication better, but the preparation, you know, the response, the amount of crews that was staged, all of that was much, much more improved. And I'll tell you, the last time it wasn't just, you know, wasn't just fire chiefs. It was all emergency response personnel. I had town managers calling and yelling about how bad the communication was in the last couple of major storms. So, yeah, much, much more improved.
Josh,
I would say, particularly National Grid, in my experience, did a pretty good job with communication. They had their president, Marcy Reed, came down to Pembroke and did a little press conference, not a press conference, did a little briefing with town officials. That was helpful. They had a person actually stationed in the Pembroke Fire Station to provide updates. You know, it took a couple days before we were getting kind of street-level updates in terms of where the repairs are going on, so that would have been nicer to hear that a little bit sooner because people were, you know, obviously very frustrated about not knowing. But I think overall I would give them, pretty good marks.
Now,
hey, one more thing on that, Kev. You know, it's kind of ironic because I never lost power. I'm in National Grid's territory, serviced by National Grid. I never lost power. You know, I get up, I shoveled, and then when
can I come to your house next time, Bob?
It's Bob Hedlund's fault, by the way. He called me. But Bob, we were talking on the cell phone about storm preparations, how we were going to work together, and just as I was talking to Bob, my power went out. So, Bob, I'm still blaming you.
So, you know, it was a shock to me after not having lost power and then travel south, and it looked, as one of the guys said, I don't know who said earlier, but like a hurricane went through there. There were so many trees over on top of lines. I could not believe how widespread the tree damage was. So, you know, you get a little insulated if you're not contrasting what happened in other towns with your own situation like that.
Now, as though we don't already have enough fun with a state senator and a state representative on the line, we have State Representative Tom Coulter joining us. Tom, are you there? Tom, you there? Maybe we lost him.
Jimmy, Josh.
Hey, Tom.
I can hear you.
Hey, Tom.
Bob, how are you?
It's Kevin.
No, Bob Hedlund.
Yeah. Bob, you're saying hi to you, Bob.
Yeah, that's all right.
It's like a party line.
Well, Representative Kevin Tosh, a question for you. And from what I understand, you actually wrote an op-ed piece regarding this last storm. Did you not?
I did, Kevin. It's going to come out Friday in all the locals. We had a unique situation in that, you know, Josh and Senator Hedlund and Representative Cantwell had to deal with unique issues to their district, most notably seawalls. In my district, we've got 7 manufactured home parks with very vulnerable citizens living in them. So when they lost their power and they lost their heat, and in some cases in Plimpton, they lost running water because they're on well water, they became very vulnerable very quickly. So we couldn't get to Marshfield, to the closest Red Cross facility. So we opened our own shelter. And on Sunday night, we housed and fed over 200 people. And we did so for 3 days at the intermediate school in Kingston. And quite honestly, the purpose of the op-ed piece was just a wonderful experience for all 6 towns I represent. We had citizens from each town across the district. And I lived there for 3 years, so for 3 days, so I had heat, and I had plenty of food, 3 square meals, and along with my constituents. So it was a great experience. We didn't have as many seawalls to worry about as we did seniors, who needed one place to stay because they couldn't get to the Red Cross facility in Marshfield.
I guess I have to ask you. It seems as though all of you gentlemen have glowing things to say about the utilities and how well things were handled, but
let's not exaggerate, Kevin.
Well, you're all upbeat and positive about things. Is there something that still needs to be worked on, whether we have a hurricane, whether we have a snowstorm, or some major catastrophe that hits the area?
You know, Kevin, I grew up, my career was in the emergency response business for 30 years. And after every major spill throughout the world, we'd take a step back and do a desktop analysis of how things went. And it's important that we do that here. And, you know, I on the way to my office, I was listening to the other representatives and the senator talk about the utility, and I want to echo their comments. I would never use the word glowing because there's always room for improvement.
Right.
I can't say enough about NSTAR in my district. They communicated. They were out in force. They did the job, and I know not all of my constituents are going to agree with that, but we seem to forget that we had 50 to 60 mile an hour winds. So although the storm started on Friday night, in some cases they couldn't get going until dawn on Sunday morning, either A, because they couldn't get at it due to a fallen tree, or they couldn't get at it because they had 50 mile an hour winds, and you can't get up in a bucket truck in 50 mile an hour winds. So when the power starts coming on Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday into Wednesday, you know, let's not forget, the utility doesn't create the snowstorm. They only respond to it. And although there's always room for improvement, and NSTAR, at least that's who I deal with, is very open to talk about that, I think they did a superb job, not just acceptable. I would put them up in the superb
category. Okay, because they have been subjected in the past to criticism, to the point of there have been some folks in some communities who want to have their own municipal, you know, plants, you know, electrical plants. And I guess I want to throw this out there. Is there a thought to maybe one day looking, maybe talking to National Grid and NSTAR about, you know, converting, going from having what we see on poles to underground power lines? Is that a discussion for down the line to improve their infrastructure?
I can tell you from experience, we had some neighborhoods in Duxbury that have underground wires, and they had the same problems. Their power was out too, because, you know, once the connection is severed, they lose power as well. And there's also issues with underground wires in terms of if there is a fault, it makes it much more difficult to locate that fault. So I think moving forward, if we're to build a new development, that obviously putting underground wires makes sense, but going backwards and trying to bury wires that we have for the cost involved, I'm not sure that would be cost effective.
Yeah. Senator?
Kevin, I just say the cost is exorbitant. We looked at that when we did the Hingham Shipyard redevelopment, and it was cost prohibitive, and that was for a major development in Hingham, you know, a community with a lot of resources, a community with a municipal power plant, and a very well-heeled developer that did that project. And underground power lines themselves aren't a panacea. There's a lot of other problems that come into play with flooding, and once you get water infiltration, and the cost to do repairs underground are very expensive too.
You know, I would say that the other problem that I know that I experienced in my part of Marshfield is that the substations that all lines have to connect to, whether they're above or underground, you know, there was a substation right near my house that had a tree fall right into the substation. The whole thing was destroyed. So, you know, as you say, Josh, you know, once the connection is snapped, regardless of whether you're above or underground, it's a problem.
Yeah, and Kevin, I can add, just looking at the Marshall's 139, right where you are broadcasting from, just to put 1 mile of wires underground for that project was going to cost close to $1 million. It is very cost prohibitive, and it came back with us. We have 4 substations in Marshall. 2 of them that had some massive damage where you live, Quail Run, that area.
Yep.
You didn't have power for a couple extra days.
That's true.
You know, Kevin, I'd love to share with you a beautiful story about community coming together. Not only did the Kingston police deliver a baby because a tree crossed the road and EMS couldn't get to it, but on the day that Town and Country's power came up, I said to a lovely 93-year-old senior that morning, I said, "Ma'am, I've got good news. Your power's on today. You're going to go home." She said, "Representative, I'd like to stay another evening if you don't mind." So, you know, out of what I try to do is look at these crises and always ask how what can we do? And what can we do together to bring a community together? And I can tell you, I represent 6 towns, and we had residents from every one of those towns in our shelter. People got to know each other. High school seniors came in and played chess games and checkers and board games. We had 3 meals a day, and Cisco donated every bit of the food free of charge, truckloads. The first 2 truckloads were from the National Guard delivering them to us.
Hey, Tom, you mentioned Cisco. I'm actually going to be in your district touring that facility tomorrow as a guest of Mr. Blaza.
Well, if you wouldn't mind, you know, Kenny's, I know, a good friend of yours, Bobby. Congratulate them, because I made a call to the CEO, and he said, "Tom, don't call me each time. Just keep faxing over what you need for orders, and we'll keep filling them." And I can't put a monetary value on what they provided, but it was 3 meals a day for 200 people for 4 days. I mean, they're just extraordinary corporate citizens.
Senator, go ahead. He didn't hear you, Senator.
I'm going to have to see if my triple F machine is working well tomorrow.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you all for joining us. Anybody want to say anything in closing? We got a minute left.
Kevin, thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen, for at least joining me this evening to talk about this particular issue. Senator, you have anything in closing?
I do. I want to commend Larry for the high-tech capabilities being displayed this evening by making this party line work.
Yes, well done.
the lawmakers' party line. Join it now.
Hedlund, I heard you were asking for Dodrill at one point.
I want to speak with you off air, yeah.
Am I in trouble?
No, absolutely not.
No, is it a positive light?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's, you know, with that, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're expecting the president of the Restaurant and Business Alliance, Dave Adelman, to be joining us. So stay tuned for that. Don't go anywhere.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station, 95.9 WATD-FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.